racing to the first tee, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee.
The PGA Tour FedEx Cup playoffs are here and in full swing, baby. Now we begin to ask who will win the $10 million. Hi, and welcome to another edition of The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the absolute new face of golf. I'm Bob Bupka, here with Jay Randolph Jr., much better known as the STL Golf Geek on Twitter. Jay, first, right out of the box, PGA of America apparently has a new CEO, Seth Waugh, a former CEO of Deutsche Bank.
Yeah, a guy that really was a driving force in the tournament in Boston when Deutsche Bank had it, friends with a lot of guys on tour. I don't think he would have taken a position with the PGA of America unless he was going to be very active in trying to grow it and do good things. So, from all indications, Bob, and we kind of had mentioned it here, you know, in the last couple of weeks that this was a possibility. Good move, I think, for the PGA of America.
Yeah, and of course, what we had been talking about on the Grill Room, matter of fact, the first place ever in the world of golf news, was the possibility of the PGA Tour taking back the PGA of America, or the two of them merging. And we're going to talk more a little later on in the show about Seth Waugh and this. But let me just run this up your flagpole. I know you know it, but you may have forgotten. When Seth Waugh got the PGA Tour to come to Boston to play at the TPC, and it was the Deutsche Bank, and then it became part of the playoffs, the first tournament director of Deutsche Bank was one Jay Monahan. Jay Monahan, Seth Waugh are great friends.
That's exactly right. Yep, you nailed it, Bob. No question about it.
And, of course, we'll see where that leads us a little later on. Well, we'll get into that in depth a little later in the show. But right now, I think it's only appropriate, and it's on the log, so we have to do it. We have to talk about the Northern Trust Open. It's the first playoff tournament of the FedEx Cup playoffs. No surprise with our winner, Jay.
Well, maybe not surprise in terms of the winner, but in terms of the fashion, maybe. And the added pressure, Bob, of trying to show Captain Jim Furyk that he deserved a pick. You know, this is his third tour win in 13 months. You know, he's getting in pretty tall cotton, an elite company.
Well, Bryson DeChambeau, when we look back, I mean, he won the NCAA singles, okay? A
yep.
Very prestigious event to win. He won the United States Amateur, an even more prestigious event to win. Now it's his third win on the PGA Tour. Nobody can say we're not talking about the real deal.
No. I mean, when you look at the progression from the junior ranks, as you said, combining college and amateur essentially as number one, it's not unexpected. I think the thing that shocks, I shouldn't say shocks, I think surprises a lot of people is the way he approaches the game, because in many ways it's different from the norm. But my goodness, the way he repeats it, and again, with that added pressure, I mean, he was playing for his Ryder Cup spot, and he sealed the deal. There's no question about it. I mean, he's a lock.
Well, that's for sure. The first step that he took, and I thought it was a very positive one. How much do you think Jim Furyk liked the fact that he shows up at Northern Trust, and I'm talking about Bryson DeChambeau, and gets the first tee for the first round and plunks down a brilliant red, white, and blue golf bag. He certainly wanted to be on that Ryder Cup team. Here's what Bryson had to say after that victory.
You know, it's been a lot of hard work this past month. You know, not making the top eight in the Ryder Cup. It was disappointing for sure, but you know, I've been grinding and working really, really hard in my golf swing, and this golf course set up perfect for me. And I was able to go out there and execute shots to the level that I know I can, and then at times when I didn't, I was still able to recover really, really well. Under the gun, with the situation, you know, at hand where I was kind of leaking back, showed a lot in regards to my own confidence level and what I can do under the pressure at hand. So all in all, different way of winning. You know, I've won different ways each time, and I'm learning more and more each time I do it.
You know, Jay, I think he prepared himself for handling pressure while in school. He would take physics. Can you imagine the pressure you have to be under when you sit down at your desk and the subject is physics?
Again, a little against the grain, maybe a little deeper thinker than some. I mean, I think if you look at the way he approaches the game as opposed to a guy like Dustin Johnson, we're talking night and day, but it works, and he repeats what he does. And most of all, Bob, and as you pointed out earlier, with the success in the junior and the amateur ranks, confidence. He's got the confidence. We may not necessarily believe in what Bryson DeChambeau's doing because it's not the normal way to do it, but he believes in it, and that's what's most important. And he, you know, in one event, he goes from first, he goes from ninth to first for that $10 million cushion that Justin Thomas got. You know, only 69 starts and three tour wins. Pretty strong.
And I love the analogy you made. You know, if I'm asked about Dustin Johnson, how does he get it done on the golf course? He gets it done with athletic ability. How does Bryson DeChambeau get it done on the golf course? He does it with mental ability. I mean, that is pretty powerful stuff. I just love the thought that he puts into this golf game. And he certainly was ticked off that he didn't make that Ryder Cup team on points. Let's give a listen.
I'm a man on a mission right now, you know, with two missions, actually. You know, one being the Ryder Cup, one being the FedEx Cup. So I'm doing pretty well right now and just got to keep moving forward in the right direction.
How tough do you think Bryson would be if he's on that Ryder Cup team in France and he's got a $10 million check in his wallet that he probably didn't have time to cash until after the Ryder Cup?
Well, and the other thing, because the fact that he has been playing a little bit with Tiger the last month, because he's a guy that is against the grain and Tiger's got the most experience, I see them paired together. And I think, to be honest with you, there's no debate. There's no Ryder Cup debate at all to me. And that's no offense to Xander Schauffele or a couple of the other guys. To me, it's a layup. It's Tiger, Phil, DeChambeau, and my man Tony Finau. I mean, I got to believe that's where it's going.
Well, I'm behind you 100%. Those are the four guys that I tabbed, and I fully expect Jim Furyk to tab those guys. Interesting to note, and he'll be coming up a little later in the show, I did ask Alex Maselli, who you know very well. I said, Alex, and I put it to him this way. I said, Alex, I want your four Ryder Cup picks. I want no waffling. Go. And he named Tiger, Phil, DeChambeau, and then he waffled. So couldn't come up with that fourth one. But it certainly didn't surprise me.
That's not surprising to me.
Well, good play by Dustin Johnson also. He finished 11th. Now he's, you know, second in FedEx Cup points, down from number one. But, you know, he's right there. And Tiger Woods, what can we say? A pretty big jump for him.
Yeah, he has just vaulted way up. Even though he drops five to 25, he's still under that 30 number for the Tour Championship. And he did not have a very good putting week at all. So he will play in the Dell Technologies Championship this week, which he has played very well in before when he was healthy, and it benefits the Tiger Woods Foundation. So that key number for him is still to watch is that top 30 for the Tour Championship presented by Coca-Cola.
Yeah, and of course, Jay, just so our listeners are aware of this fact, when they get to East Lake, the top five really are in the driver's seat. Currently, that would be Koepka, Finau, Thomas Johnson, and DeChambeau. And why is that so important? Well, if you're in the top five when you get to East Lake and you win the event, then you automatically win the FedEx Cup. So, I mean, that's what everybody's striving for.
Do you like that? Do you like that fact that at least you've got five guys with a chance over the final 4 days? Or do you think if DeChambeau wins one of the next 2 weeks, has got two wins, but yet, doesn't win the FedEx Cup, but because one of those top five guys, or the other four guys do, what's your feeling on that?
I hate it. I've hated it ever since its inception. Apparently, the PGA Tour is agreeing, because there's going to be major revisions to how it's decided next year. My grand scheme of things was, and I'll run it by you, Jake, I respect your opinion. I said top 32 should advance to East Lake, and now we go head-to-head, baby. First round, there'll be 16, 8, 4, and then two guys play, and one's going to win $10 million. I mean, that to me certainly would be exciting. Well, people in the know respect Jay Randolph's opinion. What do you think, Jay? Should there be changes?
Well, Bob, you and I were there when they first introduced this. And I remember the meeting at Tour Championship the year before they did it. And I think we all kind of looked at each other like, the heck's going on? I think there's been some good things about this. I think the fact that next year it'll end before the football really begins. But I don't know that the sport itself lends itself to quote-unquote playoffs. I mean, just the way our game is played, what certain championships have more meaning than others. I don't know. I'd like to see – I like your thoughts on the match play aspect. I'd actually rather see this be the match play, if you will, rather than the World Golf Championship match play, because I don't know that seems to work. But there's got to be a better way than, if Bryson DeChambeau wins the next two events and has won three of the four FedEx Cup events, whoever's in the top five with him can win and win the $10 million annuity. Now, that doesn't make sense.
No, I agree with you there, Jay. I mean, we'll have to wait and see. Jay Monahan, the new commissioner of the tour, has assured us there's going to be a new format. There's going to be a new point system. It's going to be a lot easier for everybody to understand. We'll just have to wait and see when the tour comes out with a new game plan for 2019.
Let's take a quick break, and when we return, we'll look at playoff number two, the Dell Technologies Championship. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf. We're heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, the Armed Forces Radio Network, Audio Boom, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, or you could just ask your smart speaker Alexa to play The Grill Room Golf Show, and you'll be connected.
You're listening to The Grill Room. Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's a couple of par threes you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. The facility uses a unique dynamic pricing structure that golfers seem to love. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old school golf at its finest.
Welcome back to the Grill Room.
Welcome back to the Grill Room. He's Jay, I'm Bob. Now let's turn our attention to the Dell Technologies Open up in Boston at TPC. 100 players are going to show up, Jay. It'll go down to 70. Starts to get interesting. A couple of players on the bubble there, Landry Steelman and Jason Duffner.
Yeah, it is always, you got a tournament within a tournament. It was incredible last week to hear some of the guys talking about thinking about winning the tournament or trying to be in the top 100 for this week. Now that number is 70. Rory, who didn't play, Bob, at the Northern Trust, now hopes to play the rest of the way. He'll play in the Dell Technologies. And, of course, this one begins on a Friday. It's a fantastic venue there at the TPC of Boston, just outside of Boston. They'll finish on Monday, Labor Day.
Yeah, they made it pretty much of a holiday up there. They've done a good job. Unfortunately, it's going to be going away after this year. The playoffs are going from four events down to three, and I think certainly that is a good move. It's going to be fun for the fans of Boston to see the likes of Tiger, Justin Thomas, Dustin Johnson, Tommy Fleetwood. All those guys are going to be up there. As Jay said, the cut's going to go down to 70 and ties, and those 70 advance to the BMW Championship.
And Bob, breaking news, as we touched on at the beginning of the show, the PGA of America has a new CEO. Former president of the PGA of America, Ted Bishop, called it last week on the Grill Room. Way to go, Ted. Bob, we saw this coming. We kind of had a feeling this was happening.
Yeah, I think it's a great move for the PGA of America. I know it's a great move for Seth Waugh. Very intelligent, easy to approach, and certainly loves the game of golf. I couldn't be happier for the 29,000 or so members of the PGA of America. I think they got the right man in giving the nod to Seth Waugh.
Well, you had the chance to catch up with the contrarian. We'll see if he agrees with you. From themorningread.com, here is Bob's chat with Alex Maselli.
Joining us once again in the Grow Room, Alex Maselli, founder and publisher of Morning Read. As I keep telling you, if you want news about what's happening in the world of golf, go to morningread.com. Alex, I was all set to talk about something completely different, but it just came across my desk that big news at the PGA of America. They've announced the new CEO. What's your take on it?
Well, I mean, regardless of who it is, it was important that they moved quickly, which we have written about in Morning Read, and they have done that. They're going to go into a Ryder Cup now with a CEO versus someone interim. There's clearly, as we've outlined, just with a potential move out there in regards to moving the PGA headquarters, there's a lot of things that it's on the new CEO's plate, and they needed to move quickly, and they did. The fact that they picked Seth Waugh, who was the former CEO of Deutsche Bank USA, has a lot of involvement in business as well as golf now, after basically being the steward of bringing Deutsche Bank into the Boston event, which is the second playoff event this year, and being that sponsor for something like 8 or 10 years was huge. And then the fact that Seth was on the PGA of America policy board again for 3 years, that's huge. So he's not walking into something that he knows nothing about. He has background and is familiar with what's going on and what's happening with inside the PGA of America. So I think all of that is a very big positive.
Seth Waugh, of course, with strong ties to North Palm Beach, Florida, automatically the move to Frisco, Texas for the PGA of America, I would think was on shaky ground, so to speak, over the last month or so. But now with this decision, to me, it seems like less likely that move is going to take place. You agree?
No, I don't agree.
That doesn't surprise me.
One is, Well, I understand that. Well, one is we don't really know how far down the road they are in these discussions with Frisco, Texas. We don't know what's been signed. We don't know what's been agreed to. So that's the first thing. The second thing is even if they've agreed to move the headquarters of the PGA of America to Frisco, Texas, it's not going to happen overnight. They're going to have to build buildings, get approvals, move things, do many different things to get this done. I think it's a 3-4, maybe even a 5-year process before it's all said and done. Seth Waugh is 60 years old. The first question is how long is he going to be the CEO of the PGA of America? Maybe 5 years is all he's thinking. Maybe at age 65, he's like, you know what, I'm done. And if he thinks the best thing is to move the PGA of America to Frisco, Texas, he's not thinking of it in regards to what would be best for me. He'd be thinking about what's best for the organization. So I don't think that deal is dead because they've spent a lot of time and effort on it, clearly. I just think that they will spend some time maybe looking at some other destinations that maybe they weren't as looking at is more in depth as they had been looking at Frisco, Texas. You also have to remember, Bob, I don't see Pete Bavacqua jumping up and down and move to Frisco, Texas either. I think he was doing it because he thought maybe that was the best thing for the organization. And here's a guy from New York. So, you know, I think we just need to wait and see. I'm not saying that it's a done deal by any stretch of imagination. I think something has to be done. The PGA of America clearly has to decide what they're going to do from an organization standpoint. And, you know, someone has mentioned to me they're building a huge, what most people would consider white elephant in Ponte Vedra Beach. Maybe there's enough room for both the PGA Tour and the PGA of America together there.
Well, along those lines, one of the aspects when Seth Waugh was floated as a potential candidate to take over for Pete Bavacqua, there were some indications that a move of that nature would add fuel to the fire of the PGA Tour combining with the PGA of America. It's well documented. Seth Waugh, great relationship with Jay Monahan, the commissioner of the PGA Tour. By this appointment of Seth Waugh, do you give more credence to the merger of the PGA of America and the Tour?
Well, if you give more credence, I think you would probably have a more receptive ear on the PGA of America side than maybe you would have had before. But there's a lot of things that would need to be figured out, and you have to understand and outline not only to the hierarchy of the PGA of America and the PGA Tour, but to the membership on both sides what the benefits would be. Why would this make sense? Considering the fact that the PGA Tour has thrived not being part of the PGA of America. At the same time, I'm not saying the PGA of America hasn't grown, but not to the extent that the PGA Tour has. So you'd have to understand what the benefits would be for both sides and do that make sense. I think at the end, there are huge benefits for both sides. But, you know, there'd be a lot to figure out. And you have to get a lot of people to say yes. And as you know, getting a lot of people to say yes is not as easy as getting few people to say no.
Due to time restraints that have placed on me in my conversations with you, real quick, like the fourth captain's picks by Jim Furyk, no waffling, just four names.
Woods, Mickelson, DeChambeau, waffle. It's so unclear, Bob. The fourth one is so unclear for so many reasons.
Well, that's what I expected. I asked for four. I got three. When you deal with Alex, three out of four is not bad. Alex Maselli, founder
and
publisher.
Hey, in baseball, basketball, I mean, in any sport, that's a good number.
Alex Maselli, founder and publisher of Morning Read. Check it out. You will not be disappointed.
Well, there he is, the opinionated one himself, Alex Maselli.
What I always say about Alex, seldom right, but he's never in doubt.
Well, I will tell you, the Grill Room and some of our interviews, like with Ted Bishop and Alex reporting for us, has kind of been ahead of the curve on some of this PGA of America stuff. The PGA of America was, of course, a hot topic during the PGA Championship here in St. Louis, where you and Janice were. Seth Waugh, to me, Bob, and both you and I got a lot of respect for him for what he did with the PGA Tour in the Boston area with Deutsche Bank. I just think it's very interesting that a guy like this would take this position from going from directly in kind of the financial world to the sports world.
Well, he loves the sport of golf. He thinks his life has been enriched because the sport of golf, much like your dad, much like yourself, much like myself, we've all gotten way more than we could ever give to the sport of golf. And I think Seth Waugh is that type of person. And, of course, rumors coming out of PGA headquarters that salary might be around that $2 million mark. So that's very persuasive. You know what I want to do? You mentioned your four picks, but there are people that joined the show a little bit late. Give it to us again, Jay. Come Tuesday in Philadelphia, Jim Furyk is going to make three of his four picks. Give us the four guys you think are going to be ultimately picked by Jim Furyk to play in France later on in September.
To me, it's four locks. I don't think there's any question about it. When you look at how Finau played in the four major championships, his performance last week, I think he's an auto DeChambeau, no question about it. And then Tiger and Phil. I think they've made Jim Furyk's job, one of his jobs, extremely easy. And Bob, as we wind down this segment of the Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf, of course, via Twitter last week, Phil joined Twitter to make the announcement of the match, which will be presented by Turner Broadcasting via pay-per-view platform out in Las Vegas, Nevada. It is going to happen. Apparently, they're talking about they're going to play for $9 million. They're not exactly sure how they're going to do it. What do you think about the fact it's going to be pay-per-view to watch Phil and Tiger out in Vegas during Thanksgiving?
Well, the fact that it's going to be pay-per-view, the slogan for Vegas, never could be truer than it's going to be. What happens in Vegas is going to stay in Vegas. They haven't even announced how much they're going to attempt to charge, you know, people to watch Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods. I'll be blunt. I would pay quicker to watch Colin Montgomery, John Daly in a mud wrestling match than I would Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson playing for $9 million. You know, it's not a lot of money to either one of those guys. Now, if I was told that all this money's going to go to charity, or I was told each of these guys are putting up their own money, then I would look at it differently. This is a mistake from the get-go. It's been done many times in the past. You remember Jay Shell's Wonderful World of Golf, and then there was matches with Tiger and David DeVal, a match with Tiger and Sergio Garcia. What do you think about this match?
I don't think it's needed. I think your point is dead on. And the way they announced it, I mean, there was such little information. Phil said, well, we're not sure what we're going to play yet. I mean, it's all been a little hokey to me, you know, but it also shows now the power of online and people like Turner Online. It's fascinating.
Well, I can guarantee you this much. It will not, definitely, it will not be the first hokey thing ever to take place in Las Vegas.
Our feature interview with David Fees, CEO of Peak Vision Sunglasses, comes your way next. There's some great new sunglasses designed to help any golfer out on the golf course. And plus, you'll play better. Just ask Chip Beck, Mr. 59. He'll tell you Peak Vision Sunglasses are the only glasses for his golf game. Next up, David Fees on the Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf. And heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, the Armed Forces Radio Network, Audio Boom, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, where you can just ask your smart speaker Alexa to play the Grill Room Golf Show, and you'll be connected.
You're listening to the Grill Room.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Welcome back to the Grill Room.
Joining us in the Grill Room at the moment, David Fieser, CEO of Peak Vision. Let's begin with the obvious, David. First off, thanks for joining us. But let me ask you, what are Peak Vision sunglasses?
Well, Bob, thank you so much for having me on. Peak Vision sunglasses were created to end distortion in sunglass lenses. And in the process of doing that, they developed basically a sunglass that has extreme clarity and a patented dual zone lens, which will allow you to track your drive with the neutral gray upper that fades into a high contrast amber on the bottom, 60%. And that provides three times the visual information than your naked eye, so you get an impeccable read of the green. And basically, they are the sunglass, Bob, that you don't take off when you putt.
Well, that's a pretty good endorsement to begin with. Obviously, there are many different styles of frames, probably for different sports. Which ones are most favored by golfers?
Well, right now, our flagship is the GX5, and that is the quintessential golfing wrap. It's an 8-base curve, so it gives you great peripheral coverage, and it is the one that's preferred basically probably about 70% of the time by golfers. But there, like you said, Bob, there's a lot of different other styles that we have, some lifestyle glasses, some aviators, wayfarers. We do have another real nice sports wrap too, the LX2. So we have, you know, some different ones that cover people in a different myriad of situations.
I got to ask you this, and we're speaking with David Feaser, CEO of Peak Vision. How do these differ from other sunglasses, and why should somebody wear Peak Vision?
Well, the first thing that we do is we use a proprietary lens material, which basically, Bob, gives you the same clarity as crown glass. So this is on the Abbey rating of clarity. It's a minus 52, and it starts. So when you put these glasses on, everything is extremely clear through them, and you have no distortion in the lens anywhere that you actually look through the lens. And this is an 8-base curve, so it is a very good curve that goes around the side of your eye. And the dual zone lens that I told you about before just makes the green pop. And it does not in any way take away from the beauty of your outside surroundings and the nature that you're wanting to be out there in all day long anyway, because we love being out on the course. But it enhances your ability to putt, and you don't have to take them off, which is huge because people don't realize your eyes have to adjust, Bob, during that time, and that causes you not to have the best putts in the world.
I have to ask you probably the most important question. What about protection from ultraviolet rays?
Sure. All of our glasses feature the same lens and the same lens coatings. You have full coverage of UVA, UVB rays, and you also have an RX filter on the back of the lens that's close to your eye, so it actually filters light that comes from behind your head and banks off your lens. A lot of people don't realize most of the UV rays that you're getting if you're wearing sunglasses are banking off the back of the lens and still entering your eye. This has an RX filter on it, so it just stops UV in all directions.
Well, what about Polaroid lenses? Are they different? And do golfers get the same clarity?
Actually, we advise not to use a polarized lens on the golf course. Polarized is a great lens to have, but it's a functional lens for certain situations. Polarization will basically flatten an image that you are looking at, and then it will also skew your depth perception of that image. And so then for that reason, we basically say do not wear a pair of polarized unless you're going in a fishing water situation or a ski situation where snow and high glare are at. Now, under those conditions, polarization is excellent.
Our special guest in the Grow Room, David Feaser, CEO of Peak Vision. I know your headquarters are located close to Myrtle Beach, probably the golf capital of the South. I also know that a pretty prestigious event is held down there, the World Golf Amateur Championship. Are you involved with that?
Yes, actually we are. We sponsored the World Am here. The folks down here that put on the Myrtle Beach World Amateur, it's a phenomenal tournament for amateurs. It's the largest in the world. I think there's close to 4,000 golfers in it, and it's held at, I think, somewhere in the upwards of 72 courses or something in the area. It's mind-boggling how big it is. But they come together together, and every night they meet in the Myrtle Beach Convention Center for what's known as the 19th hole. And we're actually there, and we're participating. We're actually giving the top winning two flights a pair of Peak Visions for free.
Well, I'm sad to say the 19th hole's the one I play the best lately with my golf game. But David, speaking of golf games, a dear friend of mine by the name of Chip Beck, also known as Mr. 59, he told me Peak Visions are the only sunglasses he's ever played because there's no distortion on the putting green. And Chip is certainly one of the more respected guys ever to play professional golf. That's quite an endorsement from Mr. Beck.
You know, I met Mr. Beck in January of, 2017 at the PGA Merchandise Show. And, you know, I was very in awe through Ann Ligori, who is our brand ambassador. As you know, she introduced me to Chip. And we got talking, and he said, told me how much he absolutely loved the glasses. He said exactly that same testimonial to me. And then the light kind of went out of his eyes. And he said, but I can't wear anything anymore. And I said, Chip, what's going on? And he said, you know, with me being out in the sun for as many years as I was and still am, I have small lesions on my retina. And it, when I put a pair of glasses on, it distorts stuff. And he said, I just can't wear anything anymore. And I handed him a pair of GX5s, and it had been quite a while since he had had a pair of Peaks on. And he put them on, and he looked like a kid in a candy store because his eyes lit up, and he's flipping them up and looking through them, and he's like, there's absolutely no distortion. I can't believe this. I can still wear these. And he was just so excited, and that kind of started off a very nice friendship with our company. And he has been, and as you know, Mr. Beck is an extremely gracious, great guy, and he was very gracious enough to give us his testimony, and he didn't want a single thing for it. He told me, he said, these are best glasses I've ever had in my life, and I'm more than willing to give you my testimony.
Wow, you can't beat that, but certainly
no.
Doesn't surprise me with Chip Beck. If people want more information on Peak Vision sunglasses, is there a website they can go to?
Sure. Yeah, they can go to our website. It is simply peakvision, all one word, .com. And it's peakvision.com. And we have a special going on right now. If you put in Peak Vision 15, you get 15% off anything on the site. And they can take, that's all capital letters, to Peak Vision 15. And they can visit our site, and we'll be glad to help them out and get them a pair. And we offer for a 30-day money-back guarantee, Bob. We believe in our product, and, you know, we stand strongly behind it.
Well, it certainly has been a pleasure to have you in the Grill Room. David Fiesa, CEO of Peak Vision, thank you so much for your time.
Oh, it's been an honor, Bob. Thank you so much, sir.
David Fiesa, the CEO of Peak Vision Sunglasses, and Bob, sunglasses have become a major part of the golf industry. We probably sell about 60 pairs a year. Back in the day, you hardly saw a player wear sunglasses, but now with the technology, the way they handle the distortion, it's fantastic.
Yeah, and the one thing about Peak Vision, David was saying that you don't have to take these glasses off when you get on the greens. In fact, just the opposite. They will help you read putts better.
That's it for this week.
So on behalf of our executive producer, Janice Self, Jay Randolph Jr., and myself, Bob Bupkup, please follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf. Of course, you can like us and follow us on Facebook and on Instagram at The Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in The Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.